Okay, where two or three are gathered together in
his name,
there he shall be in the midst of them. Right? Shall be. See, I said shall be. All right. Amen. We will be having our responsive reading. And we're reading from Psalm 100, New Living Translation. Responsive reading.
Shout
with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and readers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for every day that we have, Lord, to praise your name. Lord, your unfailing love, Lord, it catches us, Lord. When we need you the most, Lord, you're there. When we think that we can't go on, Lord, you're there. We don't have to sorrow as if we have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling that hope, for coming and dying for us and making sure that we would not see death and that sin would not ever overtake us. Lord, we thank you for coming together, Lord, for us worshiping you together, Lord, for us, Lord, being able to talk about you, Lord, together. And we're thanking you, Lord, again, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know that you are surrounded by Him, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made the stars, the one who numbers the number of hairs on your head, the one who knows your name? Good stuff, good stuff.
Rejoice. Be glad. It's time for altar call. We're going to have our pastor come lead us in the altar. We are praying for the following people specifically, but you all know everybody everywhere needs prayer. So, but remember those who are listed above.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
Amen. Praise God.
Let's see you.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for being so kind and so good to us. Lord, we thank you that you caused the sun to shine and you caused a new day to begin. And then, as we like to say, you touched us with that fingertip of love, and you woke us up and started us on our way.
Yes.
And we're thankful for that, Father. A lot of folks woke up this morning and couldn't get up. A lot of folks woke up and couldn't get out to bed. A lot of folks woke up and didn't even have transportation to get to your house. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have provided all those things for us. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that even though our world is like Egypt at this time in turmoil, because you are raining down your judgments on it, and it's nothing that you didn't tell us you was going to do. You told us that in the end times it would be like this. You spoke to us at length about it because you wanted us to know. And then he said over there in Luke chapter 21 that when we see all these things that's happening today, Lord, that we as your children should rejoice because it means that our redemption is near. It means, Lord, that the time for you to come and get your church and take it home to be with you where you are, and so shall we ever be with you, is very near. So this means to us, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity. This may be our last opportunity to go out and tell somebody that you died and that you didn't stay dead, but you rose again on the third day for the justification for anybody who would believe in you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have freed us from the penalty of sin when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that you freed us from the power of sin so we can live for you in this world. And we thank you, Father, that one day you're going to remove us from the presence of sin so that there's no more sin around to destroy the joy that you intend for us to have forever. We thank you, Father, that you think about us in an eternal kind of way. We thank you, Father, that you think of us in a temporal kind of way, in our right now lives today. We thank you, Father, that all things work together for our good. We don't like all the things that we have to go through. We don't like all the things that we have to suffer in this life. But we do comfort ourselves by saying all of these things are working together for our good, because we are called according to your purpose. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Like you said over in Philippians 1:6, that you're working on us and you're not going to stop working on us until we get home to be with you, where you will complete the work that you're doing on us. Father, we thank you, as you said over there in Ephesians chapter 2, that all of these good things that you intended for us to do, you intended to for us to do these things before we were born. We thank you, Father, that like Jeremiah, you knew us before our mother and fathers formed us in the womb. You sanctified us, set us apart for your service, and you ordained us to be everything that you called each and every one of us to be. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us the Holy Spirit and have made it his job to administrate the gift or giftings that you have for your people so that we can serve you in the particular way that you want us to serve you. We thank you, Father, that over and over you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we're able to do the things that you need us to do right now and in the future to come. Father, we thank you that all we have to do to get the things that we need in this life is to seek your kingdom, your authority, your rule over us, and to seek your righteousness, the way you think, act, and do things. And then, Father, all these things that we worry about, be anxious about, we no longer have to be anxious about those things because you know full well, because you made us and you know we have need of all these things. Father, we thank you that you have given us brothers and sisters in Christ to love so that we could show this love to the world. You prayed for us over in John chapter 17 that we would become one just like you, Jesus, are one with your Father, one with the Holy Spirit. You pray that we all come to that full unity in you so that the world knows that you are the Christ.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you that you do all of these wonderful things for us just because you want to. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are not out of your thoughts for one second. Every moment of this life that you've given us, your mind is on us. We thank you, Father, for being intentional. You are very intentional when it comes to us. You intend for us to be with you where you are, and so much so that you wrote it into the Bible so that we can run on and see what the end's going to be. And that encourages us to serve you right now. That encourages us to stay in the way right now. That encourages us to tell others about you, to teach those in you, and that encourages us to help those who are in need of help, whether they're in or outside the body of Christ.
All right.
Lord, we confess now all of those things that we did on purpose or even by mistake that you told us not to do. We 1 John 1:9, all of that. We confess. We agree with you. We're wrong. You're right.
All right.
We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your cleansing. Lord, bless us today. We didn't just come out here to sing songs, even though we love singing with the praise team to lift our voices up to you, who deserves all the praise that we can give you, yes, all the worship that we can offer you.
Yes.
But we've come here for a word. We've come here for some spiritual food that will hold us up, that will gird us as we go through these dark days. Jesus, these are the last days. Drop a word on the preacher today. A word that makes us say like those two who walked with Jesus down that road. Did not our hearts burn while Pastor Janice Tate preached and opened up your word to us? Bless her, Father, so that we hear you through her. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Come on, y'all gonna sing this with us. We're not doing this on our own. We need you. Stand to your feet.
words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to serve. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to serve. I won't harm you with words from my mouth.
I do need you to survive. You need me to survive. I'm not just saying, it's truth. Y'all know I've been up here with my finger trapped for weeks. Didn't find out how important it was till I couldn't use it the way I wanted to. I need my finger. Tying your shoes is even difficult when you don't have an index finger. Morning. Good to see y'all. Thank you. It is good to be seen. We don't take that for granted anymore. Come on, y'all. I didn't know how appropriate that song would be today until, you know, the Lord had me circling around today's sermon. And as I was reading and listening to the words, we're family. But it's not just in the church we're family. In this world, we're family. And as we know full well, our family is struggling. Our little small individual families can give us a filter of what's going on in the bigger family. And if we don't care what's happening in other families, because it's not happening in my family, then you're not family. Pastor's already prayed, but I'm just going to set myself. Father, I'm just submitting to your will to say what you have me to say today. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm actually reading in the Christian Standard Bible, because it's like, say, some of y'all know that carry firearms. You have multiple firearms, and so you pick which one you feel like using or carrying that day. So the Christian Standard Bible is where I landed this week, but it's okay because this story is very, very, very familiar. If you've been in church, around church, even if you've been at home watching BET, they actually had a movie like this once. Luke chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 11 through 32. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate on foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the field to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers had more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his arms, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he is back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I've been slaving many years for you and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, well, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So many of you all know, and in your Bibles you have this called the parable of the lost son. I think it's mistitled, because this is more about the father than anything. But in Luke 15, we find Jesus is dealing overall with the subject of repentance. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes are troubled by the fact that they see Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners, the worst people in their eyes. So he launches into a bunch of parables. And in this three-part parable series, you have the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We're taking a closer look at the lost son and really what is at the heart of Jesus's message. You see, in chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, we have three characters. We have the son, the younger of who the two, which is this particular son, asked his father to give him an inheritance now. Literally what that means is that he comes to his father and he says, hey, whatever you can lay your hands on, give it to me. That's literally what he said. Because if his father's not an older man who's about to die, his father could have many years and make some more money. So he wanted, right now, give me a third of what you have. Because he's not the older. The older would get 2/3. So not thinking about the fact that this could have positioned him for greater wealth, he went as far, got what he could get. And then he took it and went as far away from home and his father as he could possibly go. The father obliged his request, but notice, and this is something we skip over when we read stories like this, it said there in verse 12, the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed his assets to them. Which means the father gave the older son and the younger son. Keep that in mind when you think about it later. So here this younger son is. He leaves the father. And as soon as he got, now they wasn't like where he was going to go to the credit union and cash a check. You know, it might have been some sheep, some goats, some stones, some precious gems. So basically the guy cashed himself out. He took all that he had, he sold it so he could have some money. Pockets was fat, took off, going as far away from the father's home as he can get. Because he didn't want to have nothing to do with that life anymore. Because literally what he was saying is, look, daddy, you as good as dead to me, I'm out. We know that when he got to that story, got to this far country, we know the story. He blew through all his money, partying, living it up. And when he was broke, just amazing. As soon as he ran completely out of money, a severe famine hits the land. A total economic downturn. Talk about recession, depression hits the place where he's at. Right when he runs out of money. And in desperation, he enslaves himself to a pig farmer. Now we know this pig farmer is a Gentile because Jews don't have anything to do with unclean pigs. So he's not only out of the land of promise where he was living, he's living somewhere far away from everything that he knows amongst people who probably got a little bit of attitude with him because he's a Jew. Because at the end of the day, they had long-term attitudes about Jews because of things that happened in the past. So he's living in a foreign country as a slave, feeding pigs. And one of the things we miss, it says that he wanted to eat, he longed to eat his fill from what the pigs were eating. But guess what? He couldn't eat what the pigs were eating. I looked it up. They were eating what they call carob pods. They're a good food enhancer. They're good for flavor, but you can't eat them because they'll make you sick. So even the pig food was unavailable to him. You talk about a desperate situation. This boy was in bad shape. Being hungry and desperate brought him back to his senses. Being hungry and desperate brought him back to his senses. And so he thought to himself, I can go home. My father's slaves are fed. They got a place to sleep. I can go home and become one of daddy's slaves. I'll be a servant. I'm going to hire myself out to my own family. So let me get my story together. This thing that he said seemed to be very traditional. He said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say, when he says that I've sinned against heaven, the Jews didn't say God. So they would say heaven, or they wouldn't say his name, or they would whisper, or they come up with different names. So when he says heaven, he's really saying, Father, I've sinned against God and in your sight. So he's admitting that he knows going away, getting his money first, then going away and doing what he did was sin. He admitted it. And so that was going to be his speech. He's working on it as he's dragging himself home, I'm sure, filthy, because he'd been feeding pigs. I'm sure skinny, because he's been in a famine. I'm sure he hadn't had a chance to get a shower, wash his hair, put on some oil, none of that. Probably crusted over, dirty, filthy, making his way home, reciting, "I can't wait, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. And when I get home, I just want to be one of your hired servants. No longer worthy to be your son." But let's take a closer look at the most important person in this passage. The Father. The one whose son basically told him to his face, "You're dead to me, and give me a third of your riches. Because I'm going to take it and do what I want to do." Mind you, it's the Father's. Some of you all know what it's like with your rebellious children when they want your stuff and they feel entitled to having it. But this Father is so different. Because look at verse 20. It says, when the boy got up and went to his father, it says, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him. How he seen? He's at home, how'd he see him? They believe, because a lot of these cities, they lived in cities that were gated in and walled in communities for protection. So this means that the father wasn't just standing on the porch one day sipping on his coffee and happened to see him on the road. No. This means the father was looking for his son the whole time. Okay. So in the morning, when he walked and talked to God, he would look to see if his son was coming back down the road. In the afternoon, when he'd go out and check on the fields and the servants, he'd look to see if his son was coming down the road. At night, before he would go in for his evening prayers and they would shut the city gates, he would look to see if his son was coming home. Because, by the way, the title of my message is, come home. Come home. So this father is looking, and it says, when he saw him a long way off, I know that gait, I know that walk, I know that body frame, because this is my child. Okay. This is my flesh and blood. I know my child. You parents know, you can be in the store and you can hear your kid scream on the other side of the mall, and you like, I know who that is. That's Daylan. You know your children. This father saw his son. He knew it was son, and he saw him a long way off, and he didn't say, well, by the time he come home, wait till he get up here. It says he was filled with compassion. We looked at it in Sunday school. It's like a mother who has a baby in her womb. Some of y'all know that right now. And you move to take care of that baby, to endure what that baby's doing. And to feed that baby. I'm going to leave you alone now. So you know. That's what compassion means. You move, but you don't just sit there and go, ooh, I got a baby. No, no, you eat better. You sacrifice. You sleep. You try. You put down some things you usually want to do because you know I can't do that because I got. Because I'm going to do what's best for this child. This father was filled with compassion. As we learned in Sunday school, like our Heavenly Father is filled with compassion. And he did something. It said he ran. He didn't walk. He didn't wait. He ran out to that road, seeing his nasty child, seeing his child who said, "You're dead to me." And he ran up. And it said he threw his arms around him. And he kissed him because he didn't care that he stank. He didn't care that he looked horrible. He didn't care he smelled like pigs. Because it was his son, and he was coming home. And he'd been looking for him day in and day out to come home.
Go ahead.
And it's so good that the son was in his pre-planned speech. "Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." He ignored him. Look what it says he did. It says, but the father, in verse 22, But the father, while he was hugging and kissing on his son, turned around and said, I ain't listening to you. Look, get the best role. Go in the house. Go get the flowing role. Go get the role that I reserve for special guests. Be dirty. No, go get the role. Cover up that mess that's on my child. Because this is my son. And even though he's covered in muck in the world and he's been with prostitutes and done every other thing he possibly could have done and he stinks, cover him up. That's my son. Give him my best. Bring the ring. Wait a minute. What's that ring? That's the family signet ring. That's the family black card. That's the debit card. He has access again. But wait, he already got 1/3 of his inheritance. But the father has so much more to give him. And he didn't tell him, well, you know what? I'm not going to give you the ring because after all, you blew through what I gave you before. He said, no, give him the ring. Give him full access again. Because this is my son. Put some shoes on his feet. This is not a slave. This is a prince. Put some shoes on his feet. This is my son. And he's come home. And let's celebrate. Go get the fatted calf. The one we've been keeping for the barbecue we were going to have. Go get that calf. Because this is going, we're going to celebrate him coming home. Why is his father celebrating? Well, if you don't pay attention in reading chapter 15 and you look at the beginning in the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd goes out and leaves the 99 to go look for the one. And when he finds it, look there in verse 6. It said, and coming home, he calls his friends and his neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. And that's not talking about, let me keep going, because I'm going to get excited, because this father drives me crazy with love. Says in the next parable with the lost coin, verse 9, when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, because I found the silver coin I lost. And he says, I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in God, in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. One of the things we get wrong is when we look at that, we see angels in heaven, we think it's saying the angels are rejoicing. We say that. I said it. Guess what? That's wrong. It says God is rejoicing. It says God is rejoicing. Why? Because my child has come home. God is rejoicing over us. He don't need the angels to rejoice over us. We're his children, not theirs. And can you imagine what they're thinking when they see this? He's rejoicing. He's standing. He's clapping. He's happy. He's celebrating, raising his hands, running and wanting to kiss that dirty, stinking, no good child he is. That's why it says the angels look curiously into this. What kind of love is this? So this father who's telling the servants, get ready. We about to celebrate. I'm celebrating my son coming home. Come home. And he says, slaughter the fattened calf. Kill my best that I've been saving for a special purpose. My holy calf. Kill it so we can celebrate my son coming home. Do you see the picture? Because that's what Christ was done for us. He was slaughtered for us because all we like sheep had gone astray. We had each turned to our own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was slaughtered and heaven rejoiced. Because why? Because now my kids can come home. Come home. Father, he goes into more into this passage in verse 24. He says, because this son of mine was dead and is alive. This son of mine was lost and is found. Ephesians tells us that we were dead in our trespasses. The whole world out there is dead in sin. But because of Jesus, we have been made alive through his sacrifice. Through his slaughtering, he has made us alive who believe in him. And he is offering it to everybody else who is out there dead. Come alive. Why? Because you're mine. You're my family. I created you. Every human being is created in the image of God. Not just the people in the church, not just the good people you know. Every person, the person who is out there, who is confused, who thinks on the inside they're a woman, but on the outside of a man, they're in God's image. The person who's out there living ratchet and wild, they're in God's image. Everybody. The person who doesn't have our skin color, who hates us, that's still the image of God. And they're his. And he's begging them all, come home. Why? Because when you come home, I can clean you up. When you come home, I can put a robe on you. When you come home, I'll restore access to you by giving you my ring. When you come home, I'm going to put shoes on your feet and not make you a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. Come home. Come home. There, everybody is cherished and valuable. There is no one who is so far out of the reach of God. And you and I are sitting here as living witnesses that it's true. Because it may not be the external stuff we see, but the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? He needed to be home. And his son came home. And just like that lost sheep and that lost coin, they were valuable and they were restored back to the rightful owner. You know, I've been thinking about this word repentance. And the reason I've been thinking about this whole thing about come home is because I'm always thinking about evangelizing, witnessing as we call it. And obviously we've been doing something wrong because nobody seems to be getting saved. We got a lot of converts. We got a lot of people come to church. We got a lot of people say they're Christians but don't know any Bible or ever read it. We got a lot of people that say they're Christians but they say they love God and hate their brother. We got a lot of people running around telling people love one another, but I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to clothe you. I'm not going to pay for your education. I'm not going to pay so you can have enough money to live off of. No way. But I'm going to keep mine and you get yours. But I love Jesus. Something's wrong with the witness. And then we tell people repent. And I know this is the definition. Let me see if you all know the definition. What is the most common definition you hear for repent? Turn and go another way. Right? Which way are you going? What you turning to? I mean, I can walk this way. Then I can turn and go another way. Well, I can go that way. Or I can go back that way. Or I can go down that way. Or I can go... So that's a weak definition. How about try this? Maybe repentance isn't so much about turning and going another direction. Maybe it's about coming back home to where you belong and being restored back to your rightful place as a family member of God's. Jesus said that God rejoices, celebrates in front of the angel when one person who is going the wrong way turns back to him. He didn't say when one person who is going in a different direction stops and takes a shower, stops by and picks up, gets a haircut, stops and gets their life together, stops being nasty, stops being gay, stops being transgender, stops being evil, stops being drunk, stops being high, stop. He didn't say that. He said turn and they come back. Amen. Because guess what? You don't have the power to change any of that until you come home.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
You can't change any of that until you get back to daddy. So let's stop condemning the world for being what they are. They're lost. And they need to come home. Because too many of us, while a party is going on in heaven celebrating that one sinner, we act like the brother. I ain't never been out there in the world. I've never smoked. I've never been high. I've never had sex outside of marriage. I've been in church. I know the Bible. I sing on the praise team and I read every day the scripture. But when the lost one comes home, what's going on over here? Why daddy partied? Why he killed a fat calf for him? I've been home all this time. I've been in church every Sunday. I tithe. That's the brother. And the servants are like, it's a party. They're rejoicing. Can you see daddy's happy? Your brother's alive. He was dead. He's back. And he says, I'm not going in there. I'm not discipling him. I'm not going to reach him where he at until he take that. He was out there. You saw him out there in them streets. He was at the pride parade in a bikini. You saw him embarrassing daddy, bringing shame on our family name. I'm not going to party for him coming back home. That's the brother. And unfortunately, that's too many of us in the church today. Stand there with that same attitude, judging folks, their family, their God's family. He said, tell them to come home. I can fix it. I covered it with Jesus' blood. Come on, people. The brother, I've been with you all this time. Did he fail to mention that he got 2/3 of the inheritance while he was at home? Plus, he didn't even have to spend his money. Why? Because he was living at home. But when they want to share the wealth of the family, he don't deserve it. Don't let that be you. Because the reason Jesus is talking to this is because he's talking to scribes and Pharisees who have the attitude of that brother. How dare he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Religious folk who say they love Jesus but hate their brother. What's the message today? I already told you, everybody is creating God's image. In the beginning, when God created mankind, he was expending, he wanted to extend his family. Told him to be fruitful and multiply. That means to go out and make like kind. Make people who are in right relationship with me. Family, who like Adam and Eve walk with God in the cool of the day. Everybody else who comes and can walk in the cool of the day with God. Family. Some of us out here are like those sheep, the lost one. We done left. I call it quit but stayed. We still in the church, but we lost in the church. Because we don't know we family. We act like that son. I'm not worthy to be your child. Let me tell you something. When you are God's family, you are his family. The only way you get out of being his family is you reject being in his family. And he made the way possible through Jesus Christ. Plug into Jesus, guess what, family? Stay away from Jesus, guess what? That's the only way you can become family. There is no other way. But if you out there and that's you, don't worry. You coming to the right family. Because most of us once were. Read the list in the scripture. Most of us once were the woman at the well. Some of us once were Matthew, the tax collector, ripping off his own folks. Some of us once were the prostitute. We just wasn't getting paid. Some of us were the pimp. We were getting paid, but we wasn't working. Some of us were the supplier. And some of us were the customer. Some of us are still going to the new supplier and being a new customer is just more legitimate than the other customers were. But we still, so you come into a family that's dysfunctional. But the thing about this family is the Father is getting us to function. And he's begging us to go out and stop living in our dysfunction and come home to repent, to come home and start acting like family and be restored day by day. So see, instead of just telling people to pray a simple prayer, that's good, but that don't change who I am. It doesn't change my position unless I identify with daddy and the family. So if you don't know Jesus and what he did for you, not just dying on the cross and carrying your sins away and giving you a home in heaven. No, no. He said, your family right now, the day you believe it, that I'm the only way for you to be family. It's just that simple. Believe. And then turn around, but don't just start walking aimlessly. Walk towards Daddy. And Daddy can be found if you seek him. Get under people who are living with Daddy. Not like the brother who was hating. We got to do better with witnessing to people. How about if our message instead wasn't just, come on, get your sins forgiven, so when you die, you go to heaven. How about if our message was, come home to Daddy and get your life right? How about if it was, come home to Daddy and eat with the family? Come home to Daddy and be celebrated by Daddy in the family. Come home to Daddy and get your best robe put on you. Come home to Daddy and get your ring so that you can come boldly to the throne of grace where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you in your day-to-day walk, so that when you're dealing with the struggles and the pressures of this life, you got somebody in your family who has all power on heaven and on earth. And he's your family. How about if we change our message and just simply do what we're called to do? Tell people to come home. Just tell them, come home. How many of you all got a child out there that's MIA, that's out there doing everything? But when they call you, won't you tell them, just come home? If you family, Daddy will give you all the resources you need to do that. Because he did it for us. Come home. This song's been playing in my head, and I'm grateful for our upbringing in the Bible assemblies, because we had to eat the hymn book. We didn't have all this great music till Andre Crouch came around. But the more I get closer to understanding our Father and how much he loves us, the more sweeter these songs are to me. I'm just going to close out with a little bit of it. I hit the right note. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. It don't matter where you are, whether you are lost and you don't know you have a Savior, whether you know you have a Daddy, but you just so ashamed of where you are right now. Come home. Come home. Our Daddy's waiting with open arms. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to tell people that. That's my new evangel. Come home. It don't matter what you've done. Come home. It don't matter how bad you are. Come home. Because home is where Daddy is. And he wants to celebrate you. Father, we thank you. Because you still celebrate us. Your word says you rejoice over us with singing. We don't deserve it. But you have made it so that we can all come home at any time. The door is always open. But we know, as we look in this world,
time to come home is getting shorter. And even today, some folks won't even make it out of today. And then it'll be too late. I pray that we get serious about telling people, come home. And we stop being like the brother, judgmental and hateful. Pray that we stand up in this day and this hour as your church, as yes, some people are rejoicing for a great decision that was made, and we know it's right in your eyes, but we ain't ready for the work that has to come behind it. The work where we're going to have to tell a whole bunch of people, come home. I pray that this people will be ready and be willing to go out on the byways and highways and compel people to come home no matter where they are. We thank you. We praise you. And the only way we can worship you truly is by doing what you said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I hope you all enjoyed that word from our assistant pastor, Jennifer. And at this time, we're going to take up a love offering for our preacher today.
I wanted to make this announcement. I don't know. I got it from Jonathan. I got it from Kat. And it's been on Facebook about the FAA will be hiring air traffic controllers. The application process opened on the June 24th, and it will close tomorrow, the 27th. And you have to be between 18 and 30. And the salary range is from $103,000 to $164,000, and it's paid training. So the information will be posted, but if you want to, just see me and I can forward you the information too. As my company, AAA, we're still looking for a lot of people. It's over 100 jobs posted. A lot of the jobs are work from home, and depending on what it is, if you're not salary, they're just about offering overtime. Don't forget to go to USA Jobs, that's the federal government. They have a lot of jobs. They got a lot of money in that infrastructure, and those jobs, just remember, when you do that type of thing, that's, you know, federal, you know, retirement. So that's all I have today.
Thank you.
You need us to pray one for another and for everybody out there. But we in for a bumpy ride, y'all. We in for a bumpy ride, so be ready. But the best way you can do it is by declaring his name. Not just with your mouth, but with your life. Represent Jesus properly. pray thing. Get us every time. Let's receive our benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. All God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Twice. Bye,
Zay.
Well, this man running for your life this time. One day he gonna be like,
Buddy.
It's a state.